Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Send Mum Club podcast. I'm your host, Gemma, and thank you for listening today. So, a little life update from me. So this morning we went into Leo's school because the educational psychologist came in, and it feels like a big moment this, because obviously that is going to mostly determine whether he gets his EHCP or not. So we went in, had a meeting with her. She was really nice. She was lovely, which was quite comforting. I mean, not that it makes a difference, but it's just nice when people are nice, isn't it? It makes the whole process that little bit easier. So we had a meeting with her and Leo's teacher. You'll know this if you've been through this process, but I think it's nice for people that haven't yet to know how it works, because I had absolutely no idea. We had the meeting, and then she was then going to stay in school to assess Leo from a distance for about an hour and then have a little play with him and obviously then report her findings back. So I think all of the information has to be in by mid-June for us, and then I guess we wait and see what the outcome is. And fingers crossed, although from speaking to lots of you, I know that this process is not very simple and not very easy, and it really should be, and it's so disappointing. The other thing that has just happened is obviously the comments on the He Said, She Said podcast, which I can't really comment on, because by the time this episode goes out, that story might have evolved. And I really hope, that by the time this episode goes out, they've apologized and made moves, well, to educate themselves, really, I guess, because I'm a big believer that people can make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. This was a big one. It was a big misstep from them, and I love them. So I was really disappointed to see what they'd said on the podcast. But I think you can make mistakes like that, and then you can come back and you can go, okay, well, hold our hands up. We got that wrong. We'd like to educate ourselves. I'd love to see them get one of the big Send advocates, you know, one of the big Instagram accounts on, or just somebody with that lived experience of raising a child with Send, so that they can be better. And I hope that that has happened by now, but we'll see, won't we? I know a lot of people were extremely upset by that, and rightly so. On to this week's episode. Now, I had a chat about a week ago with Dora Garcia, and I loved this chat. I love Dora's energy. She's somebody that I came across on Instagram. Like, she came up as a suggested post for me, and as soon as I saw her content, I was like, yes, I want her on the podcast. And luckily, she was absolutely up for it. So in this chat, Dora's really honest about the fact that she was in denial before she got her son Mateo's diagnosis of ADHD. He's also since then been diagnosed with autism as well. And you'll hear Dora talk about this in this episode, but it sounds, there's my dog Dolly, hello, you'll hear her in this episode as well. Dora is a single mum. She'd recently emigrated to this country, so she had a lot on already. And then her son being on the pathway to a diagnosis, I can completely understand why somebody would feel extremely overwhelmed by all of that. But I'll let Dora talk about that more in this episode. She talks about feeling judged by professionals and people in the school before the diagnosis, and how those opinions changed once Mateo was diagnosed. We talk about the importance of taking pockets of quiet time to recharge yourself in amongst all of the chaos and learning to prioritize what really matters. And we talk about how Dora travels with her son, because I think, and I have spoken to women on this podcast who are extremely nervous to travel and have had bad experiences on holiday, but Dora goes all over the world. It's amazing. And we talk about her hopes to turn that into something for groups of Send mums. Anyway, I hope you like this episode. I certainly enjoyed having this chat, so here it is. Dora, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Gemma.
So before we started, we had a few technical problems, and I should warn you, we may have a few dog problems now.
Love
because
it.
Regular listeners to this podcast will have heard my dog Dolly before, and the episode that I'm currently editing, you can just hear like a low level bark in the background because she was downstairs barking. So I've brought her up in the hope that she'll be good, but she's currently crying. So we will see. So apologies to you. That, yes, Dolly, I know. I don't know. We'll see how we get on. She's currently padding around with sharp claws on a wooden floor. So welcome to the podcast, Dolly, as well. Right, Dora, let's get started. You're here to talk about your son, Mateo. Love that name, who is 9. Will you just tell me a little bit about him before we get going?
Yeah, Mateo, it's in my whole universe. It's a very clever boy. He can communicate very well. He have a lot of self-confidence talking. He masks a lot, let's say. He's very bright, but he is behind his peers in the school. Yeah, he's a loving boy. I don't know. I love my son. I don't know what to say about him, but he loves drama. So I'm trying to put him in activities that he can shine, because he's not shining in math or reading or riding a bike or whatever, but he shines in drama. So yeah, I'm trying to help him on that outside the school.
That's a really lovely way to look at it, actually. Because certainly, I mean, this was going back a long time ago when I was in school, but I feel like that wasn't really the mindset then. I mean, I'm not neurodiverse, but I think just for everyone, that's a nice way of thinking about it, isn't it? Okay, you're not academic or you're not doing well at these things. Let's find something to really big you up. I think that's just great parenting.
Yeah, exactly, Gemma, because I remember I was raised with like a mom, like, you have to be the best in these. I was the best in the school. I had a beautiful career, then a beautiful job in the past, and everything was like perfect, like, you know, a lot of proving in every single area in your life. I'm trying to do it differently, not because he's different. It's because I'm different too, and the world is different. So I don't know. I really don't mind if he don't want to study something, a career, be an engineer or be a doctor. If he wants to be a singer, I will support him. But I need to start now. No, I need to start sorting that now. And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, because yes, school is important. He have to have the basis. It's very important to have that. He can read, he can write, not properly yet, because he's behind, as I told you. But I don't mind. He can do the entire musical of Paddington. He know all the lines. So who cares?
I'd rather know Paddington than maths.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, while I'm doing the coffee and preparing the breakfast and trying to keep him alive, he's Auntie Lucy dancing, you know? So that's my life. So I try to see it in a positive way. So if he wants that, let's do that, you know. Indeed, a few days ago, I signed an agreement with it's an agency for talent agency. So I will try to check if he can do a small TV shows. He can go to musicals. I will try to do my best under my circumstances and my possibilities.
I love that. So Mateo has ADHD and autism. Is that right?
Yes, he have a severe ADHD because it's combined with hyperactivity, and that's okay. The tricky part. That's the tricky part.
And how does that present in him?
I think since he born, but I didn't I couldn't see it, or I was in denial, or I didn't have the information or whatever. Or because the first 5 years of Mateo, we lived in Portugal. So we were living a different life, let's say. It's not London. So I had my car there. I dropped him in the nursery. The nursery was like open space, wild open space. He was not in a room. He was playing with water every day. He was going to the beach almost every day. So, but yes, at that point, he was he was needing a special assistant, but they were kind. It was a private nursery, but they were kind. I thought was, nah, you know, it's a boy. It's just a boy. But he never stopped. When the COVID came, I was working at home. I was in Portugal at that time. And what was tough, He was little, but was tough because I couldn't, you know, like balance working with him, and he jumping around all the time was very difficult. But then when we came to live in UK, it was everything like boom out for me. I'm not from here. And then I put him in the school. Then the school called me like, no, he needs to come just for a few hours, and we need to check the Senko department, all this universe. Like, he didn't speak English at that time. He just speak Portuguese. So it was another thing to add on it. But Senko, he was five. The Senko was telling me he has something that we need to, but, you know, early help, this and that. But I didn't, I was all over the places because I was trying to find jobs. I was trying to find stability for both of us. And at the same time, all of this. Then when he was around six, the Senko called me again, like, we need to talk. This is what is happening. And I was struggling with Matteo, but I don't know, when you always struggle, you think that's your normal. I don't know if that happened to you, but it's like you don't see, you know, it's like, you know, from outside people can see, oh, how does she do that? But for me, it's like, what's the normal, you know? And then in the summer, he was seven. Yeah, in the summer of the 2024, we were here at home, and he was having a shower, and I was checking on him all the time. And then suddenly, he cut himself with my razor, the tongue. I was, you know, imagine, no, bleeding, me panicking, and all that stuff, but. What surprised me the most was that he was not panicking. He was not. And he was saying, Mommy, I'm sorry, I just couldn't stop doing it. And I start like, but wait, this is something like, you know, that day I made a click. I was in denial. I was in denial, to be honest, Gemma, and I don't know if other moms happened, but I was in denial. So I call immediately. I call CAMS. Yeah, I had a beautiful conversation with a lady, like 2 hours. Then she sent me a lot of documents. Then I start filling all the documents. Then I asked the school to fill the document because I want to do everything by myself. I want to read documents. I want to fill forms. I want to understand this. What's happening here? He's not happy, or something happened, or I'm not a good parent, because that was all the time my thing, you know, like what I'm doing wrong here. Then, you know, the ball start rolling, and was very quick when they call me. They call me that year, 6 months in December. Okay, you have an appointment, and I will never forget that. It was the 17th of January, 2025. Well, last year. And we had this appointment. It was winter, you know, dark. He was in his best behavior. No, you cannot imagine. No, that was not my son. I was very lucky because the clinical psychologist, she speaks Spanish too. And we were talking, I said, hey, this is not my son. I think we need to change the appointment. I don't want to label him, but this is not him. Don't worry, Dora. We have the report. We have a lot of information from school. We have everything that we will see. So they took him in a separate room. That, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't want to label him. I just want to know what's going on here, you know. I was just like, okay, let's close this chapter, because I was just very tired about the school, about a lot of things, about the looks of parents, looks in public places. And then we had a nice conversation. I had like, I think it was the best conversation that I had in my life with this clinician. She's lovely. And at the end, she told me, like, and he had his assessment, have, you know, the conversation. She said, Dora, I'll call you, because I will check with the team. But I will call you soon. He said, look, Laura, I just want like to know what's going on. I'm very tired. I'm alone. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with not only with his behavior or what happened. It's the dangers, you know. It's because he's doing crazy stuff. Once he throw a bottle of glass in the street, like, what are you doing? You can kill someone. I was like, you know, panicking all the time. I'm panicking all the time anyway. I'm still panicking, but it's a different panic. And she called me that day at night. I was surprised, because she said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine, Laura. Just tell me all good, what the team said, when is the next assessment, what are we going to do now? He said, no, Dora, Matteo is had diagnosis today, and we want to help you, because you're, as a solo mom, you are struggling and the system can support you. I said, in which way, Laura? Because I don't know. You will see. You will see. I will send you a lot of information, and then you will navigate it to the system. But the system will support you. But straight, she told me, look, but I refer him for another assessment. So I said, it's not done. I said, no. He has this diagnosis now, but I'm pretty sure that he can have autism too.
So the first diagnosis was for the ADHD.
ADHD and hyperactivity. And right. That was January, it's 17th of January. And straight for summer, the autism. So I'm very grateful that was very quick. But I think the age of Matteo and all the evidence during these 4 years helped them. And I didn't push the system for diagnosis. I didn't. I didn't have any financial help. I didn't have anything in place. Anything. I was struggling, but I probably no one knew it, you know. And I realized I was struggling a lot.
You mentioned being in denial. I think Yes. That's probably extremely common. I think it's probably extremely common anyway, but you know, you've moved to a different country. I'm guessing in doing so, you've left your support system behind. So you're on your own. You're trying to navigate an entirely new life. And like you said, a different way of life as well. I think I 1,000% would have been in denial as well in your situation, because that must have been... you obviously had a lot going on, and I feel like that just would have felt like... you know, that can't be happening, because almost like that's too much on top of everything else.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of things happening at that time that is not for this podcast, but it's you know, it's life. Life of your lemons, and you do whatever you can do with that. And I did a very bad lemonade with everything. But I was in denial with my son. And to be honest, I was not agree about labeling. I thought that if I label him, could be, I don't know, it's like when you do a test that you probably will have cancer in 5 years, and then you are like panicking during 5 years. So I didn't want to do that, but at the end helped me in so many ways. That day was difficult. That night, I remember perfectly, because I was here with him, and I said, it was very dark, you know, that dark, those, you know, winter nights, me alone here dealing with like my son, what I'm going to do now? What's next? I have a child with hidden disabilities, let's say, because he can walk, he can talk, he can, you know. I think other parents, I mean, I'm blessed, you know, he only have ADHD and autism. But he's healthy. He's a healthy boy. He's just, his brain works very differently, which I can't tell you that I think I am neurodiverse, but I'm not diagnosed. Okay. But I'm not ready yet to go through that. But probably you will see me like, oh yeah. Yes. I think probably I am hyper. I am hyper, and I see so much in myself and him, and that I'm learning. It's have been a beautiful and very painful journey. You know, see him struggle, but and see him struggle at the same time managing. I'm learning. I'm still learning. That day of the diagnosis was a kind of, I was sad because I didn't know what to do. My mom is not alive. My family is abroad, and we don't have too much contact. So I have small groups of friends around. The day they were, but finally, because I was the only one that was like, I was in denial. But yeah, that kind of grief that you have, and then that kind of relief as a parent, because I said, well, I think I've been doing pretty good till now. He's alive. He's still alive. I said always like this because he's always jumping around and dangerous stuff, you know. Then the looks were different now.
What do you mean?
I call it the looks. It's the looks of the school, the acceptance of, you know, they are not judging the same way.
Okay, so good looks.
Yeah, better looks now. Yeah, now it's, oh, now we have a diagnosis. So she's not a bad mom. You know.
I don't think, though, I don't know, but I wouldn't imagine that anyone would have been thinking that. That's probably something that you have thought that somebody else is thinking.
No. Well, probably, I don't know, but I the input that I had, you have to be more strict with him. You have to have more routines. It's all this advice is from professionals, good, but you are doing your best.
Yeah.
You know, under the circumstances, what I'm saying about it is like, I'm trying to do my best, but it's difficult because my son is one person in this school, it's another one at home, it's another one in the playground, it's another one in, you know, and it's not the looks like, I don't think that the school was thinking that I was a bad parent. I don't think it at all. But it's like, just, you need to be more strict. He needs more routines. He needs more of this. He needs more of that. We don't even know what he needs till now, because it's day by day. We got in place education plan, and I have like 3-4 meetings per week with them to try to follow up what they are doing with him every, you know, during the week. Because every day changes.
In terms of school, then, you say that the looks have got better, and you feel like since the diagnosis, they are dealing with things differently. Have you noticed that difference filter down to Matteo as well, in how he is in terms of school?
I think it's more accepted. The diagnosis helped to be more accepted, because the thing about my son is very clever, bright, and lovely. You can love him, but you can hate him sometimes.
Not your son. I don't hate your son. I mean,
but you know what I mean. It's like, yeah. Come on, stop.
Oh yeah.
I get it. All the kids like, oh, you are annoying, Matteo, because he was jumping around. he don't know the social skills. So, for example, if in the school he needs to do a line, he needs to stay still, he cannot stay still. After the diagnosis, they put him in the front with an adult. So it was not that Matteo was the naughty boy. It was that he cannot stay, you know. He cannot wait. So this different, this is small things. This is very small, but this makes a huge difference in a daily basis. For him, I think have a good impact being accepted. I'm working on different stuff because the first time I put him the hidden disabilities label, it's a lanyard that I use for the airports.
Is it the sunflower one?
Sunflower. I love it. Yeah. The first time I put to him, he didn't want it. He started crying. I said, look, see this. You don't want to wait the line. You don't want to wait the line. You go the first. VIP. VIP treatment. So now he love it. Because he cannot wait. I was struggling in the air, you know, everywhere. These small things helps because he was struggling and I was struggling in a lot of places. Sometimes, Gemma, from school, I have the school a little bit far away. I need to take Uber if he's not very regulated or whatever. We cannot go by bus. Then in the bus, the same thing, you know, the jumping, the this and that. And then the diagnosis help me to think like, well, it's he cannot be sit down, what we can do.
I suppose it makes it easier to make allowances, doesn't it? If you understand why the behavior's there rather than just being like, oh my God, sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, I try like, you know, to teach him, you know, in the bus you need to sit down. You cannot be jumping around, or you cannot put your shoes to the other person, and you know, jumping or screaming or singing. People don't like that. But at the end, it's just. It's a kind of, have been a process, you know. It was not the next day. I've been a year and a half. Like I've been like healing that part and understanding myself, speaking with other parents too. And I love that you invite me here because I love this. It's kind of therapeutic for me because I'm trying to build that community too, you know. I think. Parents, some parents understand each other. A teacher can understand some part, but parents. And then every child is different. The circumstances are different. It's been a journey, still a journey, like the healing, the let it go, and then, you know, and accept the support, accept or say no to certain support that I don't want it. For example, there was an occupational therapist. They wanted to help me that Matteo eat with fork and knife and spoon. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I mean, I can't teach him that, but he wants to eat with the hands. I'm not going to fancy restaurants by now. If I go to fancy restaurant, he take the fork and he take the knife. But if he's comfortable at home eating with hands, what I can do?
I think just because there is that support there, it doesn't mean that it's right for you or for him. And it's an interesting point that about you have the autonomy and you know your child best to go, actually, no, thank you so much, but we don't need that. Or we wouldn't like that. It's a different, it's not quite the same because it wasn't a therapy. But I remember when Leo, so for those who are new to the podcast, my son Leo is 3.5. He has Down syndrome. So physically, he is delayed and he wasn't walking and that he was getting up to 2. And they said, if he's not independently standing, we would like to do a hip x-ray on him to check, you know, that his hips are working. Now, I could see, and the physiotherapist, they can't officially say, we don't think there's anything wrong with his hips, but they were kind of going to me, you know, I don't think there is. And he'd already had to have a couple of x-rays already for other things. And I was like, I don't want more x-rays done on him when I don't feel like he needs it. And that was the first time that I kind of went, actually, no, thank you.
And you said,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were like, right, we need to book him in for this x-ray. And I was like, no, I'm gonna say no to that. And actually, it feels quite empowering, doesn't it?
Yes.
When you go, okay, no, definitely. I'm in control of some of this.
That's good. I mean, I was not like that at the beginning. I was like, yeah, okay, I received the cut, the letter, the OT. No, wait. No one is coming to my house to help. Do you need strategies? Yeah, I need strategies, but yeah. What you can do for me? And then at the end is, yeah, probably I need more support with occupational therapies, but I'm still sorting out what I need, but yeah. Not teaching him how to eat with a fork and knife. Definitely not.
But I suppose Matteo is 9. In terms of a diagnosis, you're relatively early in your journey, aren't you? So what, just coming up to a year and a half post-diagnosis, and, you know, the way that you've described your story was kind of like you weren't kind of thinking along those lines already. So really, although your child is 9, you're only just over a year into your Sen parent journey, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm new. That's
no time at all, I don't think, to kind of accept everything and process everything and understand exactly where you are. And realistically, this is going to be for all of us. You know, your child grows, then their challenges potentially become different. Their needs might change. Other things might crop up. Some things might, you know, not be so much of an issue anymore. So the whole thing is a learning curve. But I think in those first few years, you're like, oh my God.
No, it's overwhelming, no. Sometimes isn't it? I think like, oh, what the heck I'm doing? I mean, I really don't know. And my son is, he talks so much. He cannot stop talking. That's what the other denial, the autism. Because there was another brilliant doctor and he speaks Spanish too. And he was... we had a conversation. I was like in the assessment, like, let's do the assessment, but I think I'm sure nothing. I was shocked with the autism, yeah? I was shocked. But then when he explained to me everything matched, the autism and the ADHD of Matteo, it is. It is, and the social skills, and he talks so much. He cannot stop. But sometimes, Gemma, we come back from school. Sometimes I need to stop in the corner. I said, or you stop talking, or I'm going to be crazy. And he starts to make it up stories in his head and telling me and asking me for this and that and anticipating the dinner. And you know, it's all of this. And I have my own things in my head. I have to pay this. I have to do that. I have to do that. Then at a certain point, I kind of, what do you think, Mom? I don't know. What do you think? I don't care. It's like, stop. I just need to be in calm, you know. We will come home and we will put Mozart. No, I will do Paddington music. I know. So it's like, it's an autism. They can't talk too much. They can, or you can, yeah, or you cannot talk, or you speak too much. I didn't know that. I learned.
You're a single mum. How do you manage with that? Because you've just summed up really there, like when it can become extremely overwhelming. And I think if it's just you on your own, that's all on you, isn't it? You know, when you get to the
thing where you're like,
where you've gone, you've got too many words, I've got nothing left to give. And I've been a single mum. You can't past that you can't go, okay, I'm tapping out now for 15 minutes. I'm going to go and have a walk or just sit in a quiet, dark room on my own. How do you manage that when it does feel too much? Because it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I don't know. It's because I love him so much. I don't know. I think I'm a very active person. That helps me a lot. I'm very social. I think I have to do it. You know, it's just what I'm learning lately is that I need to slow down sometimes. For example, I mean, normally I work every day, and I'm trying to slow down to have these quiet mornings, like, for example, today. Otherwise, if I am, you know, nonstop and then, you know, going to school and then, you know, you are in the way to school just thinking about how will be the day, who the head teacher will call me today for what. And all of this, this anxiety that comes, just trying probably when he is at school once a week, just have it for me. I'm not a spa girl or gym girl. I do a lot of exercise because I have a bike. I bike a lot, and that helps me out. I love it. This morning, there's something funny happened to me, because I was in the bike. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I closed my eyes a little bit, and he said to me, "Why you close your eyes?" And I said, "Because it's relaxing. Just feel it, Matteo. Feel the breeze. Feel the sun." He goes in the scooter because he don't ride a bike yet, and it's too dangerous now. But anyway, and he start closing the eye. I said, yeah, but not the whole journey. Just close your eyes 2 seconds. I start laughing. I start laughing. Like, my gosh. Yeah, you know. We go to bed early. I'm very lucky. Matteo go to bed early. So that's when my life start again at night. He normally goes to bed at 7. Even if he's sunny, he's tired because normally he wakes up at 4, 5.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm an early person too, so it's okay. Okay. but something
horrifying to me.
But if you imagine Auntie Lucia, 5 o'clock in the morning here, jumping around. Yeah, I will try to send you a video about it. But anyway, and he goes, and then it's everything is in calm. And then, you know, I start sort of my life. I work in my travel business at night. I work in the social media a little bit when I can. When I have the energy, Gemma, too, yeah. Because sometimes I don't have the energy.
I think it's interesting. I think we're about the same age. And you kind of said recently you've started to take those moments of quiet.
Yes. Yes.
And I throughout my entire life, I grew up hating my own company. I don't know whether I did, but certainly that's the perception I had of myself. And I always used to say, oh God, I hate being on my own. I think maybe just because I was quite unhappy and I didn't want to be alone with my own thoughts. But now I feel like in a nice, calm place in my life. That is absolutely how I regulate. But I've only realized that in the last couple of years. Like, I need to be on my own in a quiet room or even just watching something on the telly. But I need that time to reset my nervous system, I suppose, because I'm like you. Otherwise, I'd be like, right, I've got to do this, 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 and this. And then I need to message this person back and this, 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 and this. And while I'm thinking that, I'm not breathing properly. I'm definitely shallow breathing for hours of my day. Yes. And then I get to the end and I'm like, and I've totally realized, but only in my mid 40s, that I also need to take those pockets of time to be quiet, to recharge. And then I'm like, okay, I can go and cope with things again now. But isn't it funny that it takes you so long? to realize those very simple things.
Yes, I'm trying to like learning that, you know. It's funny because I like, and sometimes you always want to, yeah, you always have a task.
Always.
The next. But I'm learning like to pull away some stuff, and yeah. I can see I'm you know, I'm active in social media, but I'm trying to do it healthy,
yeah,
and be healthy with, you know, it's a healthy, because that can be addictive to, you know, and then you are trapped.
Oh, I'm terrible.
It's horrible. Terrible. I'm trying to like, you know, to do something. Then. I don't know. Was last night? I want to wash my hair and blow it up to look nice today. But I didn't have the energy, to be honest. And I said, "Oh, doesn't matter. I will be like, well, how I am, and that's it. I don't have to pretend anything." So, and then yesterday I supposed to have a meeting online, and I said, "Oh, let's pull it for tomorrow because." No, I prioritize myself. Like, let me rest, and I have a very nice podcast tomorrow. A nice conversation. You know, I will have a nice morning, and let me try to not cover everything. Just to try to do things, in a better way, even if they are small. Having my coffee in silence.
You're literally describing
like 5 minutes in silence.
And do you know what's funny? You were saying about you not doing your hair, how you anticipated doing it. The first thing I thought when you came on was how cool your hair is.
Oh, no
so
way.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Imagine.
So I don't know how it would have looked, but it looks great. I'm jealous. I can't have long hair because I can't do anything.
Nice. You know what, Gemma? I don't do makeup. I don't use heels anymore. I'm done.
Oh no, the heels are gone for me.
That's different kind of life that I live. I'm very, yeah, I'm very like this. No, I'm not. But I did a little bit of makeup today. A little bit.
Fabulous. I think what's great though, and maybe it is something about being in your 40s. I don't know. It took me until my 40s to do this.
I'm 45. I'll turn 46 in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So I'm 45 in July. One of my favorite things to do now is to say no. Someone asked me to do something this weekend, and I, for once, because I used to overload myself with everything, and then I'd feel really overwhelmed. Going, oh my God, I've got things on like all weekend, and I haven't had that time to sit down and just kind of, you know, reset everything in my head, really. And this weekend, someone asked me to do something, and it is actually somebody that I wanted to see. One of my friends asked me to go for drinks, and I thought, do you know what? I'm working tonight, which is Thursday. I've got something to do on Saturday morning, doing some filming on Sunday. If I add on something else, I now know myself well enough to know that by the end of the bank holiday weekend, I will feel a little bit burnt out and like I'm on the back foot. So I was like, oh, do you know what? Like, I'd love to see you, but no. And it's good.
Well, like, no.
And it's not like, oh no, I'm so sorry, I can't, because this and this. I was just like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't this weekend. Like, no is a full sentence, and I'm saying no because I need some time to do nothing.
Yeah, no, I did a post like, what I'm doing for hobbies or whatever. I mean, I don't know, but it's for now, it's just these calm moments.
Yeah.
But it's difficult for me to make space if someone invites me. Sometimes after school on Fridays, moms gather a little bit in a pub and kids play and so on.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy. I don't have the energy to talk. I don't have the... Sometimes I have the energy like to gather a little bit and, you know. But it's like I prefer to like come home, put him in the bed, you know, reset myself, probably light up a candle for me. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sit down just a little bit or see a silly movie or I think when you are parenting in this way, you need that, your me time.
I think as a parent you do, but when you have a child with those extra needs, I think it becomes even more important because it's harder. It is. So it's more important to make sure that you're okay.
Yes. I'm learning that now. I'm trying to put in place some stuff. Well, I after the summer, I said, I will go to the sauna every week, no matter what. But I'm not very consistent on that. So I rather prefer to stay at home or work in the computer or just have peace. And you know, I mean, crowd places overwhelm me. I feel overwhelmed in shopping centers, and that's why I think I have something, because my brain is full of stuff. I mean, last week I had to renew the DLA, and that document. Oh, come on,
it's horrendous.
Oh my God, you need a psychologist for the parent after that. I mean,
I know. I completely agree.
Literally, I mean, or you continue. I mean, when I send it, I say, oh, just thanks God, but just fill it out. Breaks your heart.
I know.
It's you know, and this is the second time that I'm doing it because it's the renew thing. Well, I'm change of circumstances, the autism that I didn't send it, I sent it late, but it's all of this stuff. And then next week, I have a meeting because I need to decide the secondary school.
Oh God,
a lot. No, that's it's like. Excuse me, wait. So I have like the education plan here. It's like I look every day. I say, I have to do it today. I have to. And, you delay stuff because it's very emotional. It's emotional. You're dealing with stuff every day. Mm-hmm. And then on the top of that, you deal with the system. That I'm very grateful. In UK, I think they have extraordinary, you know, help around. But you need to choose the right one.
Yeah, and I think the help is there, but they make it extremely difficult to access that help with things that you've mentioned, like the EHCP process. We're only at the very beginning of that at the minute. But the DLA
you are in the beginning.
Yeah, but they're difficult, aren't they? They're very time consuming. They're hard to fill in. You have to word things in the exact right way to get the support that your child is entitled to. And then on top of that, like you said, it's bloody hard to read what you have to write on those forms. And it's hard to read the reports from school saying, this is your child on their very worst day and their very worst moment.
It's hard. It's hard.
No parent wants to read that. It's heartbreaking. You want to read a report. That
and
says,
you don't want to say that to anyone. No, and you don't want to expose that to anyone. No, that's another thing. You know, it's hard. It's hard.
One thing that I love on your Instagram is seeing how much you travel and the amazing places that you and Matteo have gone to.
I think you contacted me because of the travel, no?
I did. So, yes, because you came up as like a suggested post on my Instagram and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love this. Because I think that with those diagnoses that Matteo has, and I know that you've mentioned in other posts on your Instagram about this need for routine. And I think a lot of people will resonate with that with their children. I think that would put a lot of people off traveling. How do you navigate that? Like, and I suppose what challenges does that bring up?
Well, I've been traveling my whole life. Before Matteo, I travel a lot. And for Matteo, in my case, because every child is different, we talk about routines with Matteo, routines are everything have to be excited. You know, everything have to be like, you have to be, I have to do a party for everything, to brush his teeth or to put, you know, this have to be this is like a theater. My home is like a theater, you know. I need to do, yes, this is funny. I need to film something around here because this will be funny. No, it's like traveling with him is reason number one. I want to show him places and worlds, and I want to show him that it's not only UK. I want to show him cultures. I want to show him. He learn when he travel. He learn more than in the school.
Yeah.
I have the access to do activities cheaper than in UK. In December, we have been snorkeling 10 days, and I think cost me in total the 10 days in a boat seeing dolphins and whatever was not more than £200. And indeed, my son is good snorkeling. Under the water, they calm down.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of things. And he's seen something because he's seen the fish, and so he can follow the, because in the swimming pool, he can swim because he can swim. I used to have in swimming lessons, but I teach him how to swim because I was a swimmer. But anyway, it's just a full access of things that I can give it to him that I can not afford in UK. So I rather prefer to live more simple in UK and then have long breaks and have that activities for him. Even for me, I breathe. So I need, you know, I'm from the Caribbean. I need the sun. I need the beach. I need something that gives me, you know, I don't know, this. It's difficult traveling with him. Yes, it's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, I start to get, you know, nervous. It just when we go out from the door, way to the airport and all this stuff. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Yes, he's doing better every trip. Yes, he's excited for the next trip. Yes, he feels disappointed sometimes in the school because of other kids and others that we have. Look, when I went. We went to Bali on Easter. When you contact me, I was in Bali. He made friends. Another same mom. I connect through Instagram. That's the power of Instagram when you use it properly. And we connect, and we said, "Oh, let's." We were in. I tried to get gather with her, and the kids are having video calls.
Oh, that's nice.
That is not so nice that when, especially if I'm putting this in a context that, for example, Matteo don't have too many friends in the school or the kids were mean with him one day, but then he have a friend in Bali, he have another friend in Greece, he have another, you know, he's the self-confidence. I don't know how to explain this, but it's kind of a lot. It's helped us in many, many ways. Sadly, I have family in Spain, a lot of family in Spain, and we had been there with the kids and we have cousins, and but it's different because they have their routines, and Matteo is different because, and you know, I said to myself, I want to do my bucket list because I never have been in Bali. That's the challenge that I have, because I'm going to places that I never been with him. That it's another stress for me. But I like to do that. And I said to him, like, when I put him some pressure on that, like, no pressure, but I said to him, we are going on an adventure. You and me, we are a team. You need to help me. And when I give him these small responsibilities, like, he feels important, and if he feels like going on an adventure, let's do that. He likes that. I mean, my son likes that. Probably he feels very safe with me. And he's not as care about, like, we are going here, we are going there. I don't know. It's such a life changing for me. Like, have this opportunity, and I go. I travel abroad because I have this travel business. I have access to a lot of partners that I can have commission back, and you can build the network. It's a business that I'm trying to create around showing send moms that it's possible. That's the whole thing, you know. I connect. I didn't expect this. That another mom from United States told me, like, I'm scared to travel with my kids. I don't know if I can handle it. Yes, you can. Well, let's do trips together. I said let me organize it, because she's trying. I mean, I'm trying to see if I can do some trips with send parents and kids. That's not easy. And she said she was scared traveling alone. People are so nice around. You know, everyone is very nice. I mean, and everyone, you know, it's the acceptance. I don't know. I mean, we have been Bali. I mean, was like, oh, he's very active, and they smile. They don't know about ADHD. They don't judge. They don't have diagnosis. And so it's such a, like, places like Mateo can be himself.
Because I suppose he's outside of those confines of a classroom. If you're on holiday, like, you're kind of expected to run around and jump on things. And like you said, you know, he spent days and days and days snorkeling. So that's using up that energy, and he's learning and he's having new experiences, rather than, you know, the right, we're going to line up now in a queue, and then you're going to sit down and you're going to eat, and in half an hour then we're going to go and do this. And I suppose it is allowing him, like you said, to be himself rather than trying to fit in with a timetable that maybe isn't suited to him.
Yeah, and the other thing is I book activities. I do activities. I need to have a plan. With Mateo, I need to have a plan every single minute. So I cannot be laid down in the beach. That's not our plan, okay? Yeah. It have to be an activity with purpose with him. So, I mean, if there are kids there, then he can play. But I don't go to fancy resorts. In Bali, we've been 5 days in a fancy resort. I didn't like it. And then I got bored. Because I don't know what to do with myself sitting down there. I don't know. Well, I don't know. That's me. I don't know. An activity. Surfing. Morocco. Let's try surfing. But that's the other thing. I need to put a one-to-one for him. Because I realized that even abroad, he needs special assistance.
Yeah.
For learning. But it's cheaper. At the end, it's cheaper, Gemma. The activities, like, you know, surfing, snorkeling. I think the snorkeling for him is very good. When we were in Bali, I visited one school, like, called Worldwide School, that you can do world schooling. I cannot do that now. Financially, I cannot afford that now. If I can, that's my goal. Trying to put him a little bit outside a classroom, learning differently.
So if people are interested in this, because I know you said that woman spoke to you and said that she was really nervous about taking her kids away. There will be so many people who that resonates with. Just tell everyone what your Insta is so they can follow you, Dora.
My Instagram is the Travelholic Mum. Basically, the page is probably a little bit about my journey. I will post more, but it's a little bit about neurodivergent kids and a solo mom, that you can travel and you can build a business on the side too, because you can do something online. I see a lot of parents trying to do something online, and this is something that even if you don't travel, you can benefit on. And but yeah, I mean, if another mom wants to travel, and then, yeah, let's do this, because I have the contacts. Yes, I have some places that I'm thinking that we can gather, you know, in independent rooms. So it's not the thing. It's just the activities.
Yeah.
It's just to give them activities that they can improve themselves. You know, it's probably that's my main thing. If I do something with Matteo, he learns something.
I finish the podcast in the same way each week with the same questions. So the first one is, what do you know now that you wish you'd known when you got Matteo's diagnosis, either of them?
I really don't know. I think I see him through different, his lenses. It's different. It's different. It's totally different. But I think the diagnosis helped me with that. But help me to see him differently and probably have more patience. But I overthink more.
Okay.
Yes.
So pros and cons.
I'm like the doctor trying to check any movement. What is he doing? And he have diagnosed, that's it. That's just him.
And my final question is, what is the best piece of advice that you've been given along the way so far?
Oh, this was a friend from school. She's the same parent. Choose your battles.
Good advice.
I love it. Because I apply that with Matteo. I apply that for me. We apply it in our life. If he don't want to brush his teeth today, you know, but he have breakfast, have a good sleep. You know, I choose around.
Makes sense. It's good advice.
I think so. It was a very good advice. It was not from me. It was a friend that gave it to me, and I use it every day.
I love that.
And I trust my instincts more than the professionals.
Good, as you should. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. I've loved this conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Gemma. Thank you so much.
I love Dora. I love her energy, and me and her are so similar in quite a lot of ways. I really find it quite inspiring how much she's traveling and kind of acknowledging that, yes, that's really hard, but also it's worth it. So if you don't follow Dora, make sure you give her a little follow on Instagram. I'll put her handle in the show notes as well so you can. I hope you enjoyed that chat. I really did. It made me feel really nice. Felt quite uplifting, that talk. It was good energy. So that is it for another episode of the Send Mum Club. As always, if you would like to suggest a guest, if you would like to suggest yourself as a guest, if you would like to ask me to talk about anything in particular, just slide into my DMs. I know I always say that, but I love it. It's really nice to chat to some of you on Instagram as well as on the podcast. So I am at the Send Mum Club. If you aren't following already, give me a follow. And if you want to do a little rating and a review of the podcast, and please subscribe and all of that. And I will see you back here next time.